Lecture topic, Omar al-Khattab, may the Creator's blessings be on him, part 1.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق وقال تعالى فألهمها فجورها وتقواها وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم اللهم أعز الإسلام بأحب الرجلين إليك بعمر بن الخطاب أو بأبي جهل بن هشام أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is the declaration of the Quran that every human inherently possesses good and evil. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He has angelic qualities as well as devilish traits. Every human has angelic qualities as well as devilish traits. Whichever of the two he chooses to nurture and nourish, so will it prosper and flourish. Whichever of the two he chooses to nurture and nourish, so will it prosper and flourish. The most apt example to elucidate this theory is that of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, whose pre-Islamic life is a reflection of the element of evil that he embarked on the notorious mission to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his post-Islamic life is so pure and pristine that it adequately reflects the heights one can reach if he chooses to harness the good that till today he sleeps in the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From plotting the assassination of Nabi alayhi salam, and that's my talk. My message would center around this. The cornerstone of my message is this here. Allah has blessed you with both. The choice is yours. Which one do you want to nurture and nourish that will prosper and flourish? Umar radiallahu anhu plots the assassination of Nabi alayhi salam. That's the pre-Islamic life. And the post-Islamic is so pure that it is Hajjatul Wada. It is the final Hajj. The Sahaba have congregated in Arafah. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses them, congratulates them, and says to them, "Inna Allah Taala baha bin nasi ashiyat Arafah ammatan wa baha bi Umar khassa." Last night Allah was boasting about my Sahaba to the angels, but Umar, Allah was exceptionally fascinated with you. Umar, Allah was raving about you. From being the arch enemy of Islam, when Umar asked Nabi alayhi salam permission, "Can I go for Umrah?" He said, "Umar, you can go. Ya akhi ashrikna fi du'aik. But Umar, I have a request. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asking you, include him in your prayers." Umar ibn, the narration of Muslim Sharif, Umar ibn Khattab said, "Ma uhibbu anna li biha ma tala'at alayhi shamsu." I will not substitute this request for the world and whatever it has to offer. From being the arch enemy of Islam, the narration of Ibn Asakir, "Ma fi as-sama'i malakun illa wa huwa yuwaqqiru Umar, wa la fil ardi shaytanun illa wa huwa yafruqu min Umar." There is no angel in the heavens but that he honors, respects, salutes and reveres Umar. And there remains no devil on planet earth but that he is afraid of Umar. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Idha shi'tum an yatib al-majlisu fa'alaykum bi-dhikri Umar ibn al-Khattab." If you want to flavor your gathering, you want to add pleasure to your discussion, then touch the mention of Umar and you see how exciting the topic becomes. I have seen in my humble years of speaking, and that is what prompts me to the discussion of Umar today, is that often Umar is a person, you barely touch his name and there's anxiety. There is this curiosity, tell us more. The narration of Ibn Sa'd, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, my father embraced Islam when he was 26 years of age and I was 6 years of age. The hadith that I quoted in the beginning, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had made a dua, Allahumma a'izzal Islam bi ahabbir rajulaini ilayk. Oh Allah, strengthen Muslims and Islam by either of the two people, Umar ibn Khattab or Abu Jahl ibn Hisham. And this dua was accepted in the favor of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Amongst the first positive impressions of Islam into the life of Umar radiallahu anhu, the narration of Shuraih ibn Ubaidullah, he said, خَرَجْتُ أَتَعَرَّضُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَبْلَ أَنْ أُسْلِمْ. I one day decided to pursue Nabi alayhi salam before embracing the faith. فَوَجَدْتُهُ قَدْ سَبَقَنِي إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had gone to Masjid al-Haram. فَقُمْتُ خَلْفَهُ. I came in the rear and I stood behind him. فَاسْتَفْتَحَ سُورَةَ الْحَاقَّةِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam commenced the recital of Surah Haqqa. I was فَجَعَلْتُ أَتَعَجَّبُ مِنْ تَأْلِيفِ الْقُرْآنِ. I was admiring the composition of the Quran. And for a moment I entertained the thought and I said, وَاللَّهِ هُوَ قُرَيْشٌ كَمَا هُوَ شَاعِرٌ كَمَا قَالَتْ قُرَيْشٌ. This man is a poet, as the Quraysh allege. And I barely entertained the thought, and just then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the verse, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٌ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, these are not the words of a poet. I said, Subhanallah, I'm entertaining this, and immediately the verse was revealed. The verse was recited. The next thought that I entertained, he is a fortune teller. فَقُلْتُ هُوَ كَاهِنْ كَمَا قَالَتْ قُرَيْشٌ. And just then Nabi alayhi salam read the verse, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. This is not the words of a fortune teller. تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَوَقَعَ الْإِسْلَامُ فِي قَلْبِي. This was one of the first positive impressions of Islam in my heart. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the father of tafsir, was very, very close to Umar radiallahu anhu. He was of young age, but Umar had great regard for him. In fact, Umar used to say, إِنَّهُ فَتَى الْكُهُولِ لَهُ لِسَانٌ سَأُولٌ وَقَلْبٌ عَقُولٌ. Ibn Abbas is the only youngster that enjoys the consent to sit amongst the senior Sahaba, the likes of those who participated in Badr. So Ibn Abbas and Umar radiallahu anhu had an amazing relation. There is a narration in Bukhari Sharif where Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, I had this desire to ask Umar one day. In Surah Tahrim, Allah makes reference to two spouses of Nabi alayhi salam, two consorts. But I really don't know what their names were. Once upon a time, the youth of this ummah did not want to know the commentary and the score and who hit the first record and he who hit the first century. But Ibn Abbas's zeal and aspiration was, who are the two women who have been made reference to in this verse of the Quran? He said, for 1 year I followed Umar to ask him this. But out of respect and out of the awe of Umar, I could never ask him the question. I would come close to Umar, then he would say, Ibn Abbas, what's it? Request for duas. And then again, I would muster the courage and I'll come close. And I said, today I'm going to get my answer and discover my quest. And I'll come close to Umar ibn Khattab. And then again, I would be gripped by his awe. And once we were out in Hajj, and then Umar excused himself from the road and he went to make wudu. And generally in journey, the formalities are somehow relaxed. People are more on a casual, on a more informal way. And I seized the opportunity and I said, Oh Umar, مَنِ اللَّتَانِ تَظَاهَرَتَا. As the Quran says, إِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا وَإِن تَظَاهَرَا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That who is being made reference to in this ayah? And Umar radiallahu anhu said, تِلْكَ عَيْشَةُ وَحَفْصَةَ. This is Aisha and Hafsa. So Ibn Abbas said, as simple as that for you, but ask me for 1 year, my brother, I've been following you. Anyway, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, one day I came to Umar and I said, Umar, لِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ سُمِّيْتَ الْفَارُوقِ. You're the only person in the galaxy of Sahaba who enjoys the privilege of Al-Faruq. one who separates truth from falsehood. You want to be kind enough to tell me the origin of this definition. Where does this name, what is the inception of this name? Now there's two things to bear in mind. Number one, the profoundness of the title. And number two, who gave him the title? This is the great thing. I mean, I can sit and say you're a brilliant man, you're wonderful, you're amazing, you're unique. But that very same word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it in the praise of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam in Surah Sa'd. Ni'mal abdu innahu awwab. Allah says, Ayyub, he's an amazing human. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he's an amazing person. It's not my acknowledgement. It's not my recognition. This is the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And honestly, this is what we need. This is what we need. Somebody insulted Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, my brother, if I am like that, may Allah forgive me for that wrong. And if I'm not like that, may Allah forgive you for accusing me. But really, the judge is Allah. The matter is Allah. Someone accused the brother of something evil. He said, you know what, my brother, between me and Jannah, there is a bridge. If I cross it, then I'm really not concerned of what you said because Allah has considered me successful. And if I fail to cross it, I promise you I'm worse than what you said. If I fail to cross it, I'm worse than what you said because that's the yardstick by virtue of which my success will be measured. Anyway, he said, I asked Umar radiallahu anhu, لِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ سُمِّيتَ الْفَارُوقِ. Why were you given the title Farooq? He said, it's as follows. أَسْلَمَ حَمْزَةُ قَبْلِي بِثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامِ. Hamza radiallahu anhu embraced the faith 3 days before me. ثُمَّ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرِي لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Then Allah inspired me to also reflect and embrace Islam and forsake and abandon my evil. فَأَتَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So I came to Nabi alayhi salam and I said, I would like to embrace the faith. Nabi alayhi salam introduced me and I took the shahada and I recited and proclaimed the shahada. When I proclaimed the shahada, فَكَبَّرَ أَهْلُ الدَّارِ تَكْبِيرَةً سَمِعَهَا أَهْلُ الْمَسْجِدِ. There was an excitement in the air. Everybody unanimously called out the takbir to such an extent that it was heard by the houses around. Nay, it was heard in Masjid al-Nabawi. And everybody was excited over the fact that I embraced the faith. And the narration of Ibn Asakir, نَزَلَ Jibril. Jibril descended. And he said, Ya Muhammad, istabshara ahlu samai bi islami Umar. O Nabi of Allah, I must tell you the excitement and the buzz over Umar reverting to Islam is not only on the earth. There is excitement and there's a buzz in the heavens also. By Allah, my brother, and by Allah, my sister, listening to me over the airwaves. Allah's qasam, you repent tonight, there will be a buzz on the earth and a buzz in the heavens equally. The ayat-e kareema that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those people who killed the friends of Allah in the previous nations. Reference to this is made mention of in the hadith of Muslim Sharif. The incident is very long. But I want to touch on one commentary of Hasan Basri which is recorded in Ibn Kathir. These people who had dug the trenches and had hurled the pious inside, and to an extent that there was a woman who was suckling her child, and we know she was reluctant, and the suckling child spoke and said, Ya Ummah, isbiri fa innaki alal haqqi. Oh my mother, persevere. This might look like the trenches of hell, but ultimately it's the gardens of paradise. And the child gave the mother encouragement, and the mother went forward and she fell inside. And the Quran speaks about how merciless these people were. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. In Bayanul Quran, under this ayah, it is written that in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses and expounds on the nature of their evil. That they were so hard-hearted. They were not seen footage. They were literally seen with the naked eye. People were being roasted in front of them. But it did not soften their heart in any way. In this way, they killed hundreds of the friends of Allah. But Hasan Basri says, how kind is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah spoke about their azab, Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. People who had committed a horrendous and a gruesome crime, like killing innocent children, children who have been nursed by their mother, pious friends of Allah. When Allah spoke about His azab in their favor, Allah didn't say, I will destroy them. Allah said, if they don't repent, then I will punish them. Hassan Basri said, when I read this ayah, I sobbed. I said, oh my Allah, what is your kindness? People who burn your bondsmen, your creation. But there's a subtle invitation to them also towards tawbah. At-tawbatu min al-dhambi kashurbi al-dawai lil-alil wa rubba illatin kanat sababu al-sihha. What an amazing couplet in the Arabic language. They say when you repent from a sin, it's pretty much like drinking medicine for a sick person. And then the poet goes on to give consolation to the sinner. That's you and I, my brother. He says, وَرُبَّ عِلَّةٍ كَانَتْ سَبَبُ السِّحَّةِ. Many a time sickness leads you to cure. You smoked your life till you lost your lungs. Then you disciplined yourself. So on a subtle note, it took the loss of your lungs for you to abandon your evil. So he said, now that you are taking the medication and rehabilitating yourself in a disguised way, your evil led you to good. My brother, you knocked yourself, you burnt your hands, you bumped your head, you went back and forth in evil, to hell and back. But let's take this as an opportunity to come back to Allah. When Umar accepted Islam, there was a buzz in the heavens. The narration of Anas radiallahu anhu, he says there was an ordinary trader in the time of Nabi alayhi salam. He was returning from Syria, إِذْ عَرَضَ لَهُ لِسُّنْ, when suddenly a thief comes and he intends to mug him. So when the sahabi, when the trader looked at him, he said, listen, شَأْنَكَ بِمَالٍ, take my wealth and don't harass me. He said, أَلْمَالُ مَالِي وَإِنَّمَا أُرِيدُ نَفْسَكْ, the wealth is mine, but I'm going to kill you. He said, دَعْنِي أُصَلِّي الصَّلَاةِ, leave me, I want to pray some salah. He said, go for it. The narration is also in Hayatul Sahaba, I read it, and in other kitabs as well. He then performed four rakat salah very calmly, very, very calmly. And thereafter he made a dua, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Ya Dhal Arshil Majid, Ya Fa'al Lima Yurid, As'aluka bi nuri wajhika alladhi mala'a arkan arshik, wa as'aluka bi qudratika allati qadarta biha ala jami'i khalqik, wa as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay', la ilaha illa ant, ya mughithu aghithni, ya mughithu aghithni, ya mughithu aghithni. In great detail, oh my Allah, assist me, oh my Allah, assist me. Suddenly a horseman advances. He goes towards the thief and the thug. He drops him off his conveyance. He then kills him. He comes back to the trader and he says to him, اعلم أني ملك من السماء الثالثة. For the record, I just want to tell you, I am an angel from the third heaven. لما دعوت الأولى سمعنا لأبواب السماء قعقعة. When you made dua the first time, we literally heard sounds in the heavens. You were making dua, we felt the effect in the heavens. There was a tremor in the heavens. Read the narration. وَلَمَّا دَعَوْتَ الثَّانِيَا, when you supplicated Allah on the second instance, فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ, we literally seen the doors of the heavens were flung open for your reception. وَلَمَّا دَعَوْتَ الثَّالِثَا, and when you made dua for the third time, نَزَلَ جِبْرِيلِ, Jibreel descended. He said, مَنْ هَذَا الْمَكْرُوبِ, who is this bondsman of Allah who is in distress? Who is this bondsman of Allah who's in pain and difficulty? فَدَعُوتُ اللَّهَ أَن يُوَلِّيَنِي قَتْلَهُ. I said, Allah, privilege me to aid your beloved servants. Allah said, I give you the honor and I have responded to your call. I'm saying the buzz in the heavens was not only for Umar. My brother, you have the equal opportunity. فَأَيْنَ تَذَّهَبُونَ. Qatada says, أَيْعَنِ الْقُرْآنِ وَطَاعَتِهِ. Where are you leaving Allah and going? Allah is asking. Where are you leaving Him and going? You tell my son, the little baby, the toddler, where are you going? You'll get hurt. You'll get lost. Take care of yourself. Allah is saying to you, my brother, before you go in the club, Allah asks you, where are you going? Before you walk in the pub, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. O foolish man, who gave you the wrong notion about Allah? Who gave you the wrong end of the stick? نزل جبريل, Jibreel came down. Ya Muhammad, istabshara ahlu samai bi islami Umar. Even the angels in the heavens are excited on Umar reverting to Islam. I recited the kalima, there was excitement, there was silence. I said to Nabi alayhi salam, now that I've embraced the faith, can I ask you a question? Nabi alayhi salam said, the floor is yours, the day is yours, go for it. I said, Alasna ala al-haqq in hayina wa in mutna. Would it be correct to say that now that I've embraced the faith, this is the correct creed, this is the correct religion, we live by this, we die with this, and I've embraced the correct religion? Nabi alayhi salam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنَّكُمْ عَلَى الْحَقِّ إِن مُتْتُمْ وَإِن حَيِّتُمْ. You are on the correct religion. There is no doubt about it. There is no shadow of doubt about it. While you live and equally after your death. I said, O Nabi of Allah, فَفِيمَ الْإِخْتِفَى. Then why are we sitting with this matter secret? If it is as transparent and as clear, as loud and as bold, as audible as you said it, then why is the matter secret? وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَتَخْرُجَنْ. I swear by that Allah who made you a Nabi, you're going to be publicly walking into the haram. فَأَخْرَجْنَاهُ. We then escorted him. I told Hamza, you grab that side, I will walk this side. حَتَّى دَخَلْنَا مَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ. Can you imagine that sight, my brother? Where do I paint the picture? Oh my Allah, where do I get the words? Allah's Nabi walking and Umar on one side and Hamza on the other side. Then you want to idolize immoral, wicked humans? I've been speaking about it and I've been yelling about it. The article was in our paper, in our media not too long ago. 11 delinquents, meet the 11 greatest sinners in football history. We call them Misdeeds United. One out of them, an Italian striker, was proud to say in one of his interviews, he's bedded 700 women. While another was guilty of bestiality, he broke his virginity with an animal. This was carried by mainstream media. He said, we walked into the haram, فَنَذَرَتْ إِلَيَّ قُرَيْشٌ. One brother told me, Moran, I came all the way to see, listen to you. I said, maybe if you told me a month ago, I would have felt, you know what, you're loyal. You drove to Durban to see other things. We're coming this year, what does that impress me? You drove where to go see other matches, and I drove a half an hour. My brother, my talking doesn't benefit you. Your listening doesn't benefit me. I have an Allah to meet. You have an Allah to meet. I have a qabr to face. You have a qabr to face. My Nabi told this very Umar. My Nabi told this very Umar. Open Hayatu Sahaba, third volume. There's a dedicated chapter. Amma sayajri fi qabrihi. Umar, what will happen when you'll be lowered in your qabr? And two angels will come before you. They are known as Munkar and Nakir. Aswatuhuma kalbarqi wa absaruhuma karra'di. Their voice will be like thunder. Their sight will be like lightning. They will have a whip in their hand. Lo darabaka biha darbatan tasiru biha ramadan. Umar, while you'll be in your grave, it will be you and them and nobody else. One lash from them, one striking from them, you'll be reduced to ashes, Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, will I be in my senses? Will I be composed? Will I be focused? Will I be understanding things consciously, objectively? Nabi alayhi salam said, yes. Umar said, then O Nabi of Allah, I'm confident I will deal with the matter personally and see to them individually. I'm saying, my brother, can you imagine the confidence, the strength, the piety that it takes? The narration goes on, وَزَادَ عَبْدُ الْوَاحِدِ فِي كِتَابِهِ التَّبْصِيرِ. The narration, exactly, I'm quoting it to you. Nabi alayhi salam said, Umar, you telling me that Jibreel came down and gave an addition to what you said. Jibreel said to me, when you will be lowered in the qabr, and the angels will come to you, you'll put them on the back foot. You will tell them, Allah is my Lord. You want to tell me who's yours? Allahu Rabbi, faman rabbukuma, Hayatu Sahaba, third volume, the narration is there. Allahu Rabbi, faman rabbukuma, والإسلام ديني فما دينكما ومحمد النبي فمن نبيكما. The angel will say, وا عجبا لا ندري أرسلنا إليك أم أنت أرسلت إلينا. We really don't know if Allah has sent us to question you or has Allah sent you to question us. I'm saying that is what is our goal. That is what is our aspiration. The Quraysh looked at me, but they could do nothing more than give me a dirty look. And when this happened, Nabi alayhi salam called me. He then hugged me. فَسَمَّانِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْفَارُوقِ. He said, Umar, you are Farooq. You've opened a new chapter of Islam. A new era has dawned now that you've embraced the faith. There is a beginning of a different life. I'm saying Umar accepted the Islam, and immediately in that gathering he made a decision. My brother, you and I have cried at the Kaaba 10 times. You and I have cried on this Musalla 20 times. You and I have begged the du'as and the supplication of the pious 30 times. How long? When will I make that, draw the line and say, this is my priorities. These are places I don't attend. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. See Ibn Kathir, what is written under this ayah. The pious are those who do not attend evil venues. They have to pass evil venues. It's a world we're living in. You're traveling in an airport, in a plane. Sometimes people think this is their private bedroom. My brother, you're in a plane here if you don't know. You have to pass by venues of evil. The Quran said, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. They pass by in dignified ways. Ibn Kathir says, they drop their gaze, they hasten their pace, they hate the crime and love the sinner himself. This is the description of مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, مَا زِلْنَا أَعِزَّ مُنْذُ أَسْلَمَ عُمَرْ. From the day Umar embraced Islam, our glory only increased and elevated. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا وَمَا نَحْنُ نَسْتَطِيعُ أَن نَتُوفَ بِالْبَيْتِ. I remember in the initial stages, we couldn't master the courage to get close to the Kaaba, leave alone, perform tawaf. حَتَّى أَسْلَمَ عُمَرْ until Umar accepted Islam. قَاتَلَهُمْ Umar resisted them. حَتَّى تَرَكُونَا they abandoned harassing us. فَصَلَّيْنَا وَطُفْنَا we performed salah in the Kaaba and we performed circumambulation and tawaf of the Kaaba as well. One day a group from outside Medina Munawwara came into Medina Munawwara. Now we know Umar radiallahu anhu, this was his practice that he used to patrol the streets of Medina. If you read the life of Umar, the great Umar, the second Khalifa, then you will know he has done a great legacy, he has left behind a great legacy and a great contribution in terms of the infrastructure development that had taken place over the years during the Islamic rule. A significant contribution of that goes to the credit of Umar radiallahu anhu. So amongst his great and salient features was he used to patrol the streets of Medina while the masses were sleeping. Some group had come from outside Medina. He spoke to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He said, are you available tonight? We'll patrol and just comfort them while they see to their needs. They might be tired and exhausted and they need to retire to bed. Abdurrahman ibn Auf availed himself and he said, that's perfect, we will attend to them. Now when they stood on guard, they again valued every moment. Hassan Basri said, أَدْرَكْتُ أَقْوَامًا كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَشَحَّ عَلَى عُمْرِهِ مِنْهُ عَلَى دِرْهَمِهِ. In one definition to describe all the Sahaba, a nation who were more possessive over time than wealth. If you ask me in one sentence, what's a common thread across Sahaba? A nation who were more possessive over time than wealth. In money, they were casual, they were easygoing. But when it came to time, you never could get time out of them. So they stood on patrol. Umar radiallahu anhu said, we'll alternate. You perform salah, I'll stand on guard. I'll stand on guard. You'll perform salah. He said, perfect, that's fine. Unfortunately, our acts of worship also are polluted and contaminated. If we ever do stand on guard, Allah forbid, either we smoking away, or it's ghibat, or it's vulgarity, or it's obscene discussion, or it's immoral discussions. So even that act of nobility is so tainted and so polluted and so contaminated. Anyway, while Sayyidina Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu was in Salah, Umar ibn Khattab was patrolling, فَسَمِعَ بُكَى أَصَبِيِّنِ. He heard a little child crying. So he advanced towards the child, and he said to the mother, اتَّقِ اللَّهُ وَأَحْسِنِي إِلَى سَبِيِّكَ. Oh sister, fear Allah and please attend to your child. The beauty of Umar was he was very, very straightforward. In fact, he said, أَلَا إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدِنْ طَلَقْ. Nabi alayhi salam has moved on. وَانْقَتَعَ الْوَحْيُ. Revelation has terminated. فَمَنْ أَظْهَرَ مِنْكُمْ خَيْرًا ظَنَنَّا بِهِ خَيْرًا وَأَحْبَبْنَاهُ عَلَيْهِ. If anybody displays good to us, we will think good with him and accordingly we will deal with him. وَمَنْ أَظْهَرَ مِنْكُمْ شَرًّا ظَنَنَّا بِهِ شَرًّا وَأَبْغَضْنَاهُ عَلَيْهِ. And if you are hostile to us and you display evil to us, then you will compel us to deal with you accordingly. We will thread the sensitivity, and you by your actions have compelled us to deal with you accordingly. Sarairukum bainakum wa baina rabbikum. Now you tell me my intention was clear. Your intention is between you and Allah. So Umar radiallahu anhu was a very, very straightforward person. And that is why when Abu Bakr was in the throes of death and he appointed Umar, so people started objecting to him. And he said, Ya Abu Bakr, how are you going to face Allah? This is the narration. How are you going to face Allah? If Allah asks you, who did you deputize and who did you put in charge? How will you answer Ya Allah? So Abu Bakr got emotional and he said, Abi Rabbi tukhawwifuni? Abi Rabbi tukhawwifuni? Are you trying to instill fear in me against my Allah like I don't understand? You asking me what I'll tell my Allah? I will very boldly tell my Allah, I have left the best of your creation in charge. I will very boldly tell my Allah, oh my Allah, I have nominated the noblest of the humans that are existing on earth today. Abi Rabbi tukhawwifuni? You're trying to tell me how I will face my Allah? So Umar radiallahu anhu was a very straightforward person. The people of Kufa had a reputation of always objecting on their governors. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, A'yani ahlul Kufa. The people of Kufa have tired me. Some masjids also have sometimes reputations. In ista'maltu alayhim layyinan istada'afuhu. وَإِنْ إِسْتَعْمَلْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ قَوِيًّا شَكَوْهُ. If I put a soft, gentle, passive-natured person, they will trample him. If I put a stern, harsh, rigid, robust person, then they moan and groan. He's too strict, he's too dogmatic, he's autocrat, and he has this approach and that approach. وَلَوَدِدْتُ أَنِّي وَجَدْتُ رَجُلًا قَوِيًّا أَمِينًا مُسْلِمًا. I wish I can find an honest man who can strike a balance, not too gentle, not too harsh, who has the desired qualities, who fits the requirement, who satisfies all the necessary qualities. I wish I can find such a person. So a gentleman stands up from the audience and he says, Umar, I will tell you of such a person. Umar is all elated. فَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ. He praises him and he says, Jazakallah, my brother, please tell me who's the individual. So he says, who better than your son Abdullah? So if it was us, what we would say, brother, I didn't get you there. You want to say that again, please? Sorry. Did I hear you right? My son. Oh, okay. My son, Abdul. Oh, okay. Right. All right. Any other opinions? That's me. Umar said, قَاتَلَكَ اللَّهِ مَا أَرَدْتَ اللَّهَ بِيَادِ. May Allah destroy you. I can see hypocrisy brimming from your tongue. You're trying to score points. There's no nepotism in Islam. There's no favoritism to fellow members. قَاتَلَكَ اللَّهِ مَا أَرَدْتَ اللَّهَ بِهَذَا. I know you are fake in your expression. You are insincere. I can see it from the way you come in across. Say something else or keep quiet. So Umar radiallahu anhu was a very honest, open man. Yet my brother, when it came to the matters of deen, he stands up and he ascends the mimbar. And he says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu. Salman Farsi said, halt there and there. We're not going to listen to you. Because from the spoils of the war, we all got one piece of cloth and you are clad with two. I'm entertaining and harboring ill against you. Have you usurped one? You want to put my anxiety to rest and explain how you got the other cloth so that I can listen to you and not think evil of you. Look at the fabric of that society. Look at the fiber of that community. By Allah, we have stooped so low. Leave alone implementing that. We are at the crossroads to believe. Can something like this even happen? We are busy deliberating, is it humanly possible? Did an error like this exist? Did humans like this come on planet Earth? Yes, they've come and gone. Hayhata, hayhata, an ya'ti az-zamanu bimithlihim. Inna az-zamana bimithlihim labakhilu. Hayhata, hayhata, an ya'ti az-zamanu bimithlihim. Inna az-zamana bimithlihim labakhilu. The poet said, forget about times like this. The women have become barren. They no longer can bear children like Umar. They no longer can bear children. He pointed to Abdullah. He said, Abdullah, my son, you want to kindly explain the uncle Salman Farsi regarding my clothes. He said, your utmost respect, Salman radiallahu anhu, we respect your right to question the authority of my father. for the record, as you correctly indicated, that every man was eligible and entitled to a piece of cloth, and so was I. And I have given my piece of cloth to my dad. Essentially, he is cleared it with one of his own and one of my own. Salman Farsi said, my heart is clean, my thoughts are clean. Resume the talk, now I'm focused all on you. What an error. He ascends the pulpit. People come in, the masjid is overflowing. I've been diagnosed with some sickness. The physicians have suggested honey. I have no honey. Apparently, I've seen there's some honey in the national treasury. If there's collective consensus, without any duress or any pressure, then I would like to take a spoon of honey from the national treasury. These were our glory days, my brother. These were our glory days. We have come here for every man to reflect. Look at the legacy of Umar and go back home and reflect and see how much I have to do to change my life. So Umar radiallahu anhu was a very straightforward person. He went to the sister, he said, you want to attend to your child? She said, okay, brother, I will take it. She doesn't know she's speaking to Umar. When Abu Bakr and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to Medina Munawwara, the people of Medina were excited, but they were not aware. Obviously, the Nabi of Allah had the profoundness and the brilliance on his face. But understand, Abu Bakr was Abu Bakr also. And Abu Bakr sensed their confusion that they don't know who is the Nabi of Allah. So he was wise enough. I know often you see people that, are traveling with the guest of honor and they wrongly taken to be the guest and they welcome this mistake. People, assalamu alaikum, how are you, Shaykh? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And then you're like, there's a driver, man. Shaykh, do you have any preferences or anything of drinks? No, I'm fine. Would you prefer meals before the lecture, after the lecture? I'll inform you in due course. I'm like, he's playing it on. It's like a youngster flashing with her. You know, he's given a courtesy car and he's flashing with that. My brother, are you so desperate to live that flamboyant lifestyle? Are you so desperate for fame that you are flashing with a car that was given to you as a courtesy car while your car was given at the workshop for 3 days? Like, that's wow, man, I like your wheels. Thanks for the compliment. Be bold to say it's not yours. In fact, let me tell you, even the one you dropped off at the workshop is not yours. By Allah, it's not yours. يقول ابن آدم مالي مالي وليس لك إلا ما أكلت فأفنيت أو لبست فأبليت أو تصدقت فأمذيت. Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah says, stop saying minds, minds, it hurts me, it offends me. You have nothing, O man, but what you wore and it's old, what you ate and you've consumed, and what you've sent in akhirat and it's stored. Nothing else is yours. Stop this minds, minds. يقول ابن آدم مالي مالي. You're latching onto credibility for something else. What you claim to be yours is also not yours. When Nabi alayhi salam wrote the letter of condolence to Muaz, what did he say? That Allah has given it to us for a period of time. مَتَّعَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي غِبْتَةٍ وَسُرُورٍ وَقَبَضَهُ اللَّهُ بِأَجْرٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you your son in time and took him at the time that Allah decided. Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu returns, he performs salah. Towards the end of the night, he finds this woman, the child is crying again. So he goes back to her, and Umar was Umar. He said, إِنِّي لَأَرَاكِ أُمَّ سُوءٍ. Sorry sister, but you look like a wicked auntie. You look rather evil. إِنِّي لَأَرَاكِ أُمَّ سُوءٍ. So she said, and why? He said, I'm telling you that your child is crying and he's moaning and he's groaning. I mean, I've had the opportunity, and I say this in gratitude to Allah, alhamdulillah, many times in my travels abroad, we've had the good opportunity to fly business class, first class, private cabin. And how many times I've seen in the business class we sit in, and you know what, people have this image and, you know, so they're like looking at you, how come you dress like this in this business class here? But we don't have a waistcoat to take off. We have a jacket to put on the side and we can also do that. But everybody's looking over their shoulders that there must be no child here in the cabin. Because one child can make that business flight into an economy flight. One child, and I've honestly seen it. You know, like it's restricted, it's private, it's discreet. But like everybody's on their nerves. Is there a baby in the cabin or not? Because he's crying, he's yelling. It's just going to disrupt that ambience and that flavor of business class. So it can just, you know, add so much, depression to the entire flight and the mood. So Umar said, like, please, would you attend to your child? People want to sleep and be a bit more sensitive. So she said, you know what, Umar, I'm trying to wean him off, but he wouldn't wean off. And that's my dilemma. But she doesn't know, obviously, it's Umar. She's speaking to him as a brother. So Umar said, and why do you want to wean him off, sister? He said, لِأَنَّ عُمَرْ لَا يَفْرُضُ إِلَّا لِلْفَطِيمِ. Because Umar's legislation by the law, by the Khilafah, is that they only provide an allowance for a child that has been weaned off and is independent from his mother. And I'm obviously battling, I'm breaking even, I'm living hand to mouth, so I'm trying to secure maximum revenue. So I'm trying to get my child off as quick as possible so that it can supplement my income and I can have excess money. Umar breaks down. لا تعجلي. My sister, don't haste, don't hasten. What's his age? كذا وكذا شهرًا, X amount of months, 12 months, 18 months. Don't hasten, you keep on suckling him and nursing him. Umar leaves from there and he's crying. صلى بالناس الفجر. Immediately they reformed themselves. What Maulana alluded to, they took steps of reformation with immediate effect. He performed the Fajr Salah. And وَمَا يَسْتَبِينُ النَّاسُ قِرَاءَتَهُ مِنَ الْبُكَى. The Sahaba said, we came in the masjid, we don't know if Adhan was on or Salah was on, Umar was crying so profusely, we couldn't identify the Qiraat. Umar is sobbing. So everybody is hysterical, what happened, we don't know, you just walk in, and Umar is crying and he's performing Salah. When he completed the Salah, he said, brothers, remain seated. And then he publicly announces, nay, he publicly chastises himself. He publicly admonishes himself. بُعْسًا لِعُمَر. It's not Umar the Great, it's Umar the Butcher. He calls himself. It's not Umar the Great, it's Umar the Butcher. كَمْ قَتَلَ مِنْ أَوْلَادِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Mercilessly he's denied and deprived so many children of their mother's milk. And then he said, لا تعجلوا صبيانكم على الفطام فإنا نفرض لكل مولود في الإسلام وكتب بذلك إلى الآفاق. Don't hasten in weaning your children off the milk. From now, we have amended the legislation and we have altered the stance of the state. As of today, the state would be providing an allowance for an unborn child as well. So from conception till whatever age, we will be responsible. And I regret and I retract and I lament the action and the stance that I have taken. Iyas ibn Salma says, Umar radiallahu anhu passes through the marketplace. وَمَعَهُ الدُّرَّ. And he had a whip in his hand. So he nudged me with his whip and he said, أَمِتْ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. Move from the road. So I gently moved aside. Now the whip of Umar, you know, Imam Nawawi has made mention in his kitab Tahdhib. He said, after the demise of Umar, people used to say, لَدُرَّةُ عُمَرْ كَانَ أَهْيَبُ مِنْ سَيْفِكُمْ. The whip of Umar struck more terror in the hearts of people than your swords can. And today your guns can. The whip of Umar struck more terror. And really speaking, my brother, it wasn't the whip of Umar, it was the hand of Umar himself. It wasn't that whip. فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذَ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Oh, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, it was your gesture with the sand, but that hand was being aided by Allah. That hand was being guided by Allah. There is a narration, Amr ibn Ma'di Karib radiallahu anhu. He was a very, very strong sahabi. In fact, in one narration of Bayhaqi, it comes, Sa'd radiallahu anhu was out in battle and they needed reinforcement. So they wrote a letter to Umar. So Umar replied, I'm sending you reinforcement with 2,000 people. And he sent two people. One was Amr ibn Ma'di Karib, and one was Tulayha ibn Khuwaylid radiallahu anhuma. And he said, these two represent 2,000. These two represent 2,000. Today it's the other way around, it's 20, but when you look at them in terms of effort, in terms of strength, in terms of asset, it's two people. So anyway, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu one day heard that Amr ibn Ma'di Karib had a very brilliant sword and people were, you know, really raving about it and speaking about it and boasting about it. Umar said, let me have a look at the sword of Amr ibn Ma'di Karib. He wrote him a letter. He said, mashallah, people are really singing the praises of your sword. Can I have a look at it? It was known as Samsama. So Amr ibn Ma'di Karib radiallahu anhu sent the sword. Umar radiallahu anhu used the sword, everything. فَوَجَدَهُ دُونَ مَا كَانَ يَسْمَعْ عَنْهُ. He did not find it to be so efficient as he heard about it. So he wrote back to Umar ibn Ma'di Karib. He said, oh Umar, I've received your sword. I've seen it. It's good. It's great. Nothing to write home about. Nothing to write home about. It's wonderful. So Amr ibn Ma'di Karib gave an amazing answer. He said, Ba'athtu bis-sayf wa lam ab'ath bis-sa'id alladhi yadhribu bihi. Umar, I sent you the sword. I did not send you the hand that knows how to use the sword. By Allah, my brother, I have the Quran. I don't have the tears and the heart that knows how to read this Quran. And then I'll have to go knock the doors of Sahaba. Salman Anmati said, I read Quran in a dream to Ali radiallahu anhu. So Ali radiallahu anhu said to me, لولا الذين لهم ورد يسومونا لولا الذين لهم ورد يقومونا وآخرون لهم سرد يسومونا لدكدكت أرضكم من تحتكم سحرا لأنكم قوم سوء ما تطيعونا. If it wasn't for those that get up in the early morning and make the ibadat of Allah and those who fast by day, every morning your city would face a tremor and a quake. Every morning your city would face a tremor and a quake. Salih Muzani said, I was privileged to see Nabi alayhi salam in a dream. And then he said, Salih, read Quran. So I started reading Quran. I was enjoying my recital. And I was getting excited and elated and overwhelmed. When I completed the recital, Nabi alayhi salam said, Ya Salih, hadhihi al-qira'ah, fa'ina al-buka'. Salih, you read the Quran, but Quran and tears are inseparable. Where are the tears? Where are the tears? So anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu nudged me with his stick and I moved away. A year later, Umar meets me in the marketplace. He calls me. He says, Aradta al-Hajj? Yes, I heard you're going for Hajj. I said, yeah. He said, come home with me. Fa'akhraja kisan, and he took out a packet. Fihi sittu mi'ati dirham, in which there were 600 dirhams. The narration is in Hayatu Sahaba and the Adl of Umar. 600 dirhams. And then he gave it to me. He said, Ista'in bihadihi ala al-Hajj. Use this money in your journey for Hajj. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهَا مِنَ الْخَفَقَةِ الَّتِي خَفَقْتُكَ عَامَ أَوَّلِ. And the reason why I gave you this year, I think last year, when I nudged you with my stick, I was abusing my authority. I overstepped the mark. I don't have the right to do what I did. To atone, to compensate, to expiate for my wrong, I'm giving you the 600. I hope you will be kind enough to forgive me. So Iyas ibn Silma is like, I didn't pursue legal advice or anything, you know. We don't have a litigation process here. We don't have a jury that's going to be looking over this matter here. Wallahi ma dhakartuha hatta dhakartaniha. Look at these words. These are amazing. Umar, I forgot about it. You reminded me about it. Umar said, and by Allah, for one entire year, I had restless nights because of that wrong. My brother, you are usurping the hundreds of thousands. One brother told me now while we were having, while we were eating, a brother phones him very kindly and generously. Please forgive me and forgive me for the money I owe you. It's big night. Big night? Forgive me? When you talk for money, you're ruining the friendship. My Nabi said, your entry into Jannah suspended. I mentioned it the other day in my talk. I attended one funeral. I made dua for the brother at the qabr and I became emotional and I cried and I made dua, Allah, you elevate him, give him the best of everything. I barely dusted my hands from the grave. A person nudges me on my shoulder. I said, Assalamu alaikum. He said, Maulana, mashallah, you were very generous with your duas, but the brother owes me big time. I said, when you say brother, you want to be explicit? He said, the occupant of the qabr. I said, okay, look here, there are family members here. Can we respect the sensitivity? Go aside, speak to me. My brother, you don't want to leave behind a legacy like this. When Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was in the throes of death, he called his children. He lined them up. Baka buka and samita, he cried. He said, my children, I left behind nothing tangible, but I left behind a great life. إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَمُرُّونَ بِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَوْ أَهْلِ ذِمَّتِكُمْ إِلَّا رَأَوْا أَنَّ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ حَقًّا. I loved such a clean life. Whether you pass by a Muslim or a non-Muslim, everyone will feel obligated to respect you because of the kindness of your late father. My children, I haven't left behind money, but I've left behind a life for which the world will salute you. On the reverse, you want to give them money and then usurp and devour, steal and expropriate and abuse, and then they become the victims of the curses of everyone. Wallahi ma nasituha ba'du. Umar said, one entire year I have been crying. I have been crying for the entire year. I said, I need to meet Iyas. How could I nudge him? What rights do I have? I'm abusing my authority. Accept this humble 600. Today, even if the brother wants to give you, he'll give you a lousy 10 bucks. Umar radiallahu anhu's justice was unique. Imam Sha'bi makes mention of the narration. One person came to Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, my daughter has been through a very turbulent life. This would definitely attract the attention of our youth. You know, Imam Shabi makes mention of the narration, inna ibnatan li qad wada'tuha fil jahiliyyah. In the pre-Islamic era, unfortunately, I buried my daughter alive. After burying her, to succumb to the norms of society, as the Quran says, يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Oh my Allah, how can I translate Quran? يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ, he avoids the people, مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ, because of the evil tidings that has been conveyed to him. He is at the crossroads by his flawed definition. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Do I keep this child and suffer the stigma of being the father of a girl? Or do I bury her alive? أَلَىٰ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Evil indeed were the choices they made. But again, in that state of evil and in that state of ignorance, he said, after burying my daughter, I left there and I came out. And then my guilt started eating me up. How many Muslim girls today have performed the abortion? Ultrasonically, it has been proven the fetus literally sees these foreign organs coming in. Who is this murderer and murderess that wants to terminate the life of this defenseless child? I'm afraid, baby, it is your own mother. That is why my Quran then says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلِّ. Can you call her a mother? Why? It coincides with my travel abroad. It coincides with my party. I will lose my figure. Let my child go. Allah sa'a ma yahkumun. Allah puts a thought in my mind. Wa idhal maw'udatu su'ilat. Surah Takwir. Amazing thing Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi writes here. When Allah speaks about qiyamah, Allah elaborates. Idha sama'un fatarat. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ, the stars will collapse. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ, the oceans will flow. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ, the graves will be toppled. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ, every soul will realize what he has sent forth or left behind. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ, when a 10-month pregnant camel will be left to roam around, which was the pride of an Arab. Ishar refers to a pregnant camel in the final stages of pregnancy. عُطِّلَتْ, to roam around. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. Amazing, he writes. When the innocent child who was buried alive will be revived, and this child will be asked, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Why did your mother kill you? Why did your father kill you? How can Muslim doctors ever dare perform this? He writes here, why did Allah highlight that this child will be revived? Whereas we know Qiyamah is the day where justice will prevail in its entirety and everything will unfold and everything will be opened up. If you had usurped someone's scent, or you had implicated or accused, or you have caused harm to anyone in any way, what is the reason of the specific mention of this child? He said, everybody else might have a witness. This child has no witness. Allah says, I become your lawyer. I am your lawyer. You were killed when you had not come into the earth. Who defends your case? And who can speak? Your own mother murdered you. Your own father murdered you. So Allah said, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. That might be gone in your books, but that remains recorded in my books. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. My knowledge is sufficient for accountability. So, Umar, I had a daughter of mine. We buried her in the days of ignorance. فَاسْتَخْرَجْنَاهَا قَبْلَ أَن تَمُوتَ. And then I had these nightmares and I had these flashes of guilt. I went back, I revived her, and alhamdulillah, I managed to save her honor, and we revived her, and she lived on. Then, فَأَصَابَهَا حَدٌّ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ. You know, we talk of the subconscious mind, and if a child was abused in his childhood or her childhood, these things in terms of trauma, they linger, and it has repercussion and negative consequences. If you study in psychology, the analogy will be quite different. There might be medical explanations to those trauma that were inflicted on that child in his or her childhood. So because of the turbulent things that she went through, she then committed one day some wrong, because of which she was implicated, and the Islamic law was executed against her. فَأَصَابَهَا حَدٌّ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ She was whooped, she was lashed. She then went through an extreme depression. فَأَخَذَتِ الشَّفْرَةَ لِتَذْبَحْ نَفْسَهَا She took a knife and she wanted to commit suicide. And at the critical moment when she intended committing suicide, we got there again and we rescued her. فَدَاوَيْنَاهَا حَتَّى بَرِئَتْ And then we treated her, we cured her, we spoke to her, we encouraged her. And alhamdulillah, she has recovered. And ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَتْ بِتَوْبَةٍ حَسَنًا And now she has repented from that wrong. She has reverted from her past life. And she is living an upright and a very clean and a chaste and a moral life. وَهِيَ تَخْتُبُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ And now this girl wants to settle down and she wants to move on with her life. She wants to propose somewhere. Is it my moral, my ethical duty that I notify the future in-laws of her past? Or would I be guilty of divulging and exposing her linen to public? Umar radiallahu anhu got personal and he said, وَاللَّهِ لَئِنْ أَخْبَرْتَ بِشَأْنِهَا أَحَدًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ لَأَجْعَلَنَّكَ نَكَالًا لِأَهْلِ الْأَمْصَارِ أَنْكِحَا نِكَاحَ الْعَفِيفَةَ الْمُسْلِمَةِ I must add, the key word is she has long repented, she has rehabilitated herself, she has reformed. If the person has repented today, and yesterday he committed the crime, and the next day he proposes, obviously it's a word of caution to notify the people. That is in its place. But the man has long moved on. It's a good 10 years that he has repented and recovered. Umar said, you dare expose her evil, and I will beat you in public, that it would serve as a reminder for the generations to come. Honor her, protect her, preserve her, give her respect and honor, and give her the nikah of a chaste, respectful woman in society. These are the teachings of Umar ibn Khattab. And after all this, he one day gathers Ka'b radiallahu anhu, Salman radiallahu anhu, Talha and Zubair. He said, you know what, I want to ask you people a personal question. إِيَّاكُمْ أَن تَكْذِبُونِي فَتُهْلِكُونِي وَتُهْلِكُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Don't ever dare speak a lie, because you will harm me and harm yourself. Would you people grade me as a just Khalifa, or would you view me as a tyrant ruler? After all this fairness, what would he fears upon himself? So Talha and Zubair said, إِنَّكَ لَتَسْأَلُنَا عَنْ أَمْرٍ مَا نَدْرِي مَا الْخَلِيفَةُ وَمَا الْمَلِكُ You're asking the wrong person. I don't know who's a Khalifa and I don't know who's a king. So honestly, I don't know. And I don't want to be brave to say what is the difference between the two. Salman radiallahu anhu said, I know it, and I have stayed with Nabi alayhi salam often. By Allah, I can vouch and I can swear you are a Khalifa, and you promptly tread in the footsteps of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Salman, are you honestly saying this? And in the gathering was Ka'b radiallahu anhu. Ka'b then stood up and he said, Oh Umar, if the testimony of Salman is not sufficient, then add my testimony to it as well. I add my clout to it as well. I and Salman collectively testify you are a just Khalifa. Having this testimony on his side. Now let me run you through some of the examples of the justice of Umar radiallahu anhu. There is a narration that there was a woman who was, her husband had left her and he was gone out. And some people were visiting there in the absence of her husband. Umar radiallahu anhu obviously objected about this. Imra'atin mughayyiba kana yudkhal alayha fa ankara dhalik. Umar radiallahu anhu said, the husband is not there, how can you go? It's not correct, it's not permissible, it's not lawful. And he sent a message, it said, tell that woman she needs to come here, I want to find out and I want to probe this, what is happening? So people came to her and said, ajibi Umar. Umar is calling you, sister, you will have to respond. She was pregnant also, and she was in the latter stages of her pregnancy. She got hysterical, she got, you know, the phobia kicked in, she got panicked. She said that, how can I face Umar? People encouraged her that, listen, Umar will not be harsh to you. Umar wants to understand the case and the merits, and he wants to resolve the issue. So anyway, she musters the courage, and she starts walking. And while walking, the fear of Umar, and the fear of facing Umar, being summoned in Umar, again haunts her. فَدَخَلَتْ دَارًا She enters our house. وَأَلْقَتْ وَلَدَهَا And the baby, nowadays we hear, not only you got stress, they say the baby is in stress. They tell you, prenatal depression, postnatal depression, the baby's gone into stress. Ya Allah. So what's the way forward? How do you do? You have to do, urgent delivery, or you have to do cesarean section, or whatever it is. Anyway, the woman went into stress, and she premature delivered her child. فَصَاحَ السَّبِيُّ سَيْحَتَيْن The child called out once or twice. Again, look at the beauty of the Arabic language, istihlal. Istihlal refers to the first pronouncement, the first sound that a child makes after birth. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says in the hadith of Mishkat, that when a child is born and he makes his first mark and he utters his first sound, then immediately the devil comes and nudges him. And the devil says, hey, me and you are enemies from today. As soon as the child is born, and hence we counter this influence and indoctrination and injection of the devil by calling out the adhan, by calling out the adhan. So anyway, the child calls out, cries out once, twice, thumma mata, and he passes away. Umar radiallahu anhu was informed about this year. Fastashara ba'du ashabin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu anhu consulted and said, listen, am I liable for this case, for this child, this fetus that has died? Or is it, you know, independent from me? فَاسْتَشَارَ عَلَيْهِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَلَّيْسَ عَلَيْكَ. The general view of the Sahaba was, no, you're not liable. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ وَالٍ وَمُؤَدِّبٍ. You are a governor, you are a ruler, you are at liberty, you had exercised your right, you had called her, she went into panic, she went into premature labor, she delivered a child, tragically the child died. Sympathies and empathy with the woman and the child, but you can't be held accountable. So Umar radiallahu anhu wasn't impressed. Ali radiallahu anhu was in the gathering. Ali radiallahu anhu did not speak. He looked at Ali, he said, Ali, you have any opinion? He said, yes, Umar, if you're ready to listen to me, I definitely will give you my opinion. He said, إِن كَانُوا قَالُوا بِرَأْيِهِمْ فَقَدْ أَخْطَأَ رَأْيُهُمْ وَإِن كَانُوا قَالُوا فِي هَوَاكَ فَلَمْ يَنْصَحُوكَ. I don't know, is this a thumbsuck? Or is this something that they just decided to conclude on? But honestly, there's no basis to what they say from Quran and Hadith. Amirul Mu'mineen, with respect to your position and your personality, you are liable, you are responsible, you are accountable. You summoned the woman, you put her under panic, she went into early labor, she delivered her child. You will be liable to pay the penalty of killing her child. Umar said, you have made the correct decision and I am responsible. One day he went into the case of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, or Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu was the judge. So Hazrat Umar and another person, they had an argument, there was an altercation. As they walk in, the judge, Ubay radiallahu anhu, stands up in the respect of Umar. Umar said, what justice will you give when you are favoring me over him? If you stand up for both or don't stand up for anyone. He said, I dismiss you from the post. Immediately. I was a sahabi by the name of Iyad ibn Ghanam radiallahu anhu. I was reading the narration in Sir ibn I'lamun Nubala. In I'lamun Nubala, he had kept a butler at his door. And he had, you know, kept some high profile people around him. So people took the news to Umar and he said, you know what, this governor of yours has become inaccessible. Umar probed the whole thing, found that there was merit. He brought him back. He dismissed him, demoted him, gave him a flock of sheep and said, start grazing. Iyad ibn Ghanam radiallahu anhu used to say, I cried every day and I said, Allah give me death, but demotion like this is too painful. Umar kept me for 1 year and he tested me when he seen that I had deflated my ego completely. He then restored me and he said, again, you're skating on thin ice, take care of yourself. Otherwise, remember your past and you know how you would be disciplined. Such was the rule of Umar radiallahu anhu. Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. One day Umar and Abbas radiallahu anhu had an altercation. So Abbas radiallahu anhu told Umar radiallahu anhu, if Musa's uncle was alive, لو كان عم موسى حي, if the uncle of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the paternal uncle of Musa was alive, would you have respected him? He said, of course. He said, then I'm the paternal uncle of Nabi alayhi salam. I'm the paternal uncle of Nabi alayhi salam. Umar said, yes, you are right, my brother, and we'll give you that due respect. Anyway, there was a very, very sensitive issue. Now these things happen often, and big people on either sides. Abbas radiallahu anhu had a house adjacent to Masjid al-Nabawi. The entire narration is in Hayatul Sahaba with reference to Kanzul Ummal. Abbas radiallahu anhu had a house adjacent to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to include this house into Masjid al-Nabawi. So he came to Abbas radiallahu anhu and he said, bi'niha. You want to sell me your house, please? So Abbas radiallahu anhu, fa'abal Abbasu an yabi'aha iyyahu. Very politely, he declined. And he said, no, I'm not interested in selling my house. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, fahab hali, then maybe you're not comfortable to sell it because it belongs to the masjid, then be kind enough and give it to me as a gift. So Abbas radiallahu anhu said, no, I don't have any intentions to give it as a gift either. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, fawassi'ha anta fil masjid, then you do the honorable thing and include it in the masjid yourself. Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I'm not comfortable with either of the three things. Umar radiallahu anhu said, la budda laka min ihdahunna, you have to accept one of the three. Abbas radiallahu anhu said, no. Giants on either side. But look at the fabric of that time. Amazing. Abbas radiallahu anhu said, why don't we appoint an arbitrator to resolve the issue? Our Muslim issues are going to kuffar courts. Our massages end up in kuffar courts. Can we cry more? Can we lament more? Our internal bickering. Have we become so hungry for power? Have we become so desperate for recognition? Anyway, they decided Ubay ibn Ka'b. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu sat down. It's a high profile case. Now, we know recently when high profile case, all the, you know what, people toying outside the court there to intimidate that judge. How dare you pronounce a contrary verdict? You know what would happen. High profile case, Amirul Mu'mineen is involved. But there is, nobody was above the law. Everybody had to be subjected to a common standard of justice. There was no two laws. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu heard the merits of the case and he said, Umar, with respect to you, in this matter, Abbas is on the right and you have overstepped the mark. Ma ara an tukhrijahu min darihi hatta turdiyahu. You don't have the rights to expel him from his house, nor are you at liberty to compel him to sell it until you please him and satisfy him. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I just need to ask you one thing. Ara'aita qada'aka hadha min kitabillahi wajadtahu ab sunnatan min rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do you support this? Can you back it from Quran or can you back it from Hadith? So Ubay radiallahu anhu said, I can back it from the prophetic teachings of Nabi alayhi salam. Umar said, please go for it so that it can put my anxiety to rest and my emotions to bed. He said, you know what's the reality of the matter? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam one day told us that Allah sent wahi. Now this would interest many of our businessmen. Sometimes you say, I moved in a house, you know, luck is not my side. We don't believe in bad omens. But you know what, things are one issue to the other. We moved in here, we had a robbery, there's no barakah, things are not going good. You know what, we need to rewind. We need to find out if all our steps, our ducks are in a row, if everything is in order. Allah sent wahi to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam to construct Masjid al-Aqsa. Read the narration. أَوْحَ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ سُلَيْمَانَ أَنْ يَبْنِي الْبَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ جَعَلَ كُلَّمَا بَنَى حَائِطًا أَصْبَحَ مُنْهَدِمًا. Every time Sulaiman alayhi salam erected a wall, it collapsed. Every time he erected a wall, it collapsed. So Sulaiman alayhi salam said, Allah, I'm building, this thing is breaking. مَتَى يَبْلُغُ الْبُنْيَانَ يَوْمًا تَمَامَهُ إِذَا كُنْتَ تَبْنِيهِ وَغَيْرُكَ يَهْدِمُ. The Arabic poet says, when will a building reach its completion or fruition when you construct and others demolish? So Allah said, oh Sulaiman, did you take correct permission from the man to whom this land belongs? Did you pay him properly his due? Go back to the man and see if you've adequately satisfied him. Your walls won't fall. My brother, how did you acquire this? What's the history of this shop? What happened? How many hands did it change? Was everything above board? You think you can press buttons and pull buttons here and do this and do that? But remember, it comes back to you. It haunts you. What would happen in the qabr is separate. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam went to the person to whom the land belonged, said, how much do you want? He said, an X amount. He gave him the money. When Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam gave him the money, he said, one question I have. Alladhi a'taytani khayr am alladhi akhadhta minni? The money you've given me is better or the land you're taking? Sulaiman alayhi salam said, without doubt, the land that I'm taking is more prime land, is more valuable. The money in relation is definitely not of proportion to the value of the land. He said, okay, wait. Then I abrogate the deal and I cancel the transaction. I'm not comfortable. I will hold my land. You keep your money. So Sulaiman alayhi salam said, okay, let's up it. He said, okay, that's fine. And he put it up. He's about to give him the money. He said, again, I don't know, ask the same question. The money you're giving me is better or the land? So the procedure went twice, thrice. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, can we settle on a figure and then we don't have this futile exercise of going back and forward? He said, fine. You ready? He said, okay. I want 12,000 qintar of gold. Now that was an arm and couple of legs. It was an exorbitant amount. فَتَعَاظَمَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى سُلَيْمَانَ. Sulaiman found this to be very, very expensive. Allah said, وَحِي تُ سُلَيْمَانَ إِن كُنْتَ تُعْتِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ هُوَ لَكْ فَأَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ. The narration is in Hayatu Sahaba. Sulaiman, if you're giving him the money from your own, it's your own wealth, your own income, then do what makes you happy. But if it is my sustenance, then remember that land belongs to him. Let the man live happy and there will be barakat in your building. Let the man live happy. I often say to my wife, a man living hand to mouth, having a meager income, he's coming to trim your lawn and prune your trees. Are you going to squeeze him for the 10 rand? Give him an added 20 rand. Let him leave with a smile. That smile will protect your child from an accident when he's coming from work. That child, that smile, that happiness, he doesn't have to say it on the tongue. Thank you, boss. Thank you, whatever he wants to call your wife. That happiness, that excitement. Let the man leave with a happy heart. For Allah's sake, be the means of bringing happiness to people. Tomorrow is our janazah, my brother. The time has come. If you can't make people happy, don't make anyone sad. Don't be the means of incurring the harm and the hurt of people. Sulaiman alayhi salam then gave him what he wanted and he was satisfied. Ubay ibn Ka'b said, on the background of this theory, I hereby pronounce my verdict and say that Abbas has the rights to retain his house until you fulfill and satisfy his requirements. So Umar radiallahu anhu then retracts and apologizes. And look at Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said, إِذَا قَضَيْتَ لِي فَإِنِّي أَجْعَلُهَا صَدَقَةً لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. Now that you've pronounced the verdict in my favor, I just wanted the measures to be correct. I didn't want you to tramp me. Now I'm telling you, Umar, have it and put it in Masjid al-Nabawi. What am I going to do with this house? It's my Nabi and your Nabi. It's my nephew and your Nabi. So I'm saying how clean that community was. How beautiful that society was. Feroz Daylami radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu had heard some allegations about him. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote him a letter and said, I need to meet you. Anyway, he comes. When he gets to the door, فَزَاحَمَهُ فَتَمْ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. He had an altercation with a Qurayshi youngster. فَرَفَعَ فَيْرَوْزٌ يَدَهُ فَلَطَمَ أَنْفَ الْقُرَيْشِ. Feroz radiallahu anhu lifted his hand and he gave that Qurayshi youngster one slap, one backhand. And he floored him, hurt him, injured him on his nose. So he walks in the presence of Umar and his nose is injured. So Umar radiallahu anhu is like, what happened, when, how, who? So he said, Fayrozun wa huwa ala al-bab. Fayroz Daylami did it and he's outside. Umar said, summon him. Fayroz radiallahu anhu comes inside. Umar radiallahu anhu said, what's the story here? He said, oh Umar, let me be honest and straightforward. Adhinta li wa lam ta'adhan lahu. Wa katabta ilayya wa lam ta'tub ilayhi. Fa arada an yadkhul fi idhni qabli. Fa kana minni ma qad akhbarak. Umar, you told me to come and you wrote to me. You didn't write to him. The appointment was mine. This brother with respect, he wants to gate crash. It's my time. Quite happily he comes away and he pushes himself in. So exactly what he told you, what happened, I nudged him and gave him one. So Umar said, Al-Qisas, Feroz, you know, Islam says justice. Everything has to be equal. So Feroz radiallahu anhu said, La Buddha. I mean, look at the seniority. He's a youngster, I'm old. He said, I'm afraid Islam doesn't look at that and we can't differentiate. He will have to now, justice has to prevail. He said, okay Umar, then that's fine. فَجَثَ فَيْرَوْزٌ عَلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. I cried when I read this. And I said, may Allah give Umar the highest of abodes in Jannah. Umar, you have lived such a life. Your love is embedded in the heart of every Muslim till Qiyamah. As wicked as we are, as evil as we are, as sinful as we are, the name of Umar is enough to make us tear. What was the life of Umar? By Allah, I said it recently and I say it. Very recently, Allah took me for Umrah. And when we came to the grave of Umar, I stood there and I cried. And I said, Umar, what did you do to put this magnet in our hearts that 14 centuries have gone, but we can feel you, Umar. Umar, what a life you led. We haven't seen you. We are not family related to you, but what a life we led. You led. Anyway, Feroz radiallahu anhu kneels down. Justice. My brother, you'll have to kneel before Allah. I will have to kneel before Allah. وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيًا وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيًا كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدَعَى إِلَى كِتَابِهَا الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And everybody will kneel before Allah. إِن كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا. Whoever is in the heavens and the earth will appear before Allah individually as a servant. You know, you go for an interview. Sorry, who's the gentleman? No, I just brought him with me. Oh, okay, tell him to wait outside. Sometimes a woman goes in a doctor's room, she needs a daughter worth, or you know, in an interview, just for comfort, psychological help, whatever it is around you, you will appear before Allah alone. So anyway, Feroz radiallahu anhu kneels down. وَقَامَ الْفَتَى لِيَقْتَصَّ مِنْهُ. And the youngster stands with the whip in his hand, so that justice can prevail. He's about to lash Feroz radiallahu anhu. Umar then interjects and intervenes. And he said, عَلَىٰ رِسْلِكَ أَيُّهَا الْفَتَىٰ حَتَّىٰ أُخْبِرَكَ بِشَيْءٍ سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَىٰ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰهِ وَسَلَىٰ Young boy, hold your tracks. Before you go and execute it for which you are entitled, I just want to bounce off one hadith which I heard Nabi alayhi salam saying regarding the man you're going to lash. I remember in the fatal illness of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, nay, I can safely say days before he passed away. He one day told us, addressing the congregation of Sahaba, he said, قُتِلَ اللَّيْلَةُ الْأَسْوَدُ الْعَنَسِ قَتَلَهُ الْعَبْدُ الصَّالِحُ الْفَيْرَوْزُ دَيْلَمِ Nabi alayhi salam got up. Now, in Nabi alayhi salam's fatal illness, it was exploited by evil elements who started laying claim to prophethood. And everybody's full in the form, become a prophet. Nabi alayhi salam is going to pass away. Let's take your chance and join. If you read it, some of it is laughable, but it has happened.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.